the cost is so high and the reimbursement hasn't been raised in years. You're taking such a cut. It got to the point, some of the ones that are so low, it's like four people in your chair versus one. Something's got to give in that case, right? It typically is volume. You have to pump the volume of patients to make up the difference. That's just was not in the vision.
Welcome to The Dental Marketer. This is your go-to podcast for diving deep into the world of business, marketing, self-development, and dentistry. From startup secrets to real talk with the pros, we've got it all. So whether you're just starting out or you're deep in years in running your own practice, join us for a mix of success stories, a few learning curves, and loads of insights from the brightest in the industry. We'll chat, learn, and grow together, one episode at a time. Are you thinking about starting your own practice? Well, this episode's got your back. Dr. Rebecca Bradley shares her journey of switching from a fast-paced DSO to opening up her very own practice. She's laying down the map for making that big move. And we cover everything from the operations and finances to the personal drive it takes to carve out your own space in the community. Now, Rebecca didn't just tackle the business side of things. She's all about giving her patients that personal touch. Her story is real and inspiring, showing how she balanced a major career shift with family life at home. So if you've been dreaming of a practice that blends your career goals with making a real difference, then this episode with Rebecca Bradley could be the nudge you need. What you'll learn in this episode is, number one, the steps to transition from an associate to a private practice owner. Two, how strategic marketing and community engagement helps in establishing a practice. Three, the importance of social media and local partnerships in attracting patients. Four, the financial considerations while operating a startup. And five, the role of personal vision and patient-centric approaches in creating a successful practice. I'm excited for you to listen to this episode. So without further delay, here is Dr. Rebecca Bradley. Rebecca Bradley, how's it going?
It's good. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you so much for being available and doing this. If you don't mind me asking, where are you located right now?
We are in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the South Charlotte area.
Okay. So if you can, tell us a little bit about your past, your present. How did you get to where you are today?
Sure. I graduated 2017 from UNC Dentistry, School of Dentistry, and went straight to work at a large practice in Charlotte, 14 dentists. And it was not corporate, it was private. So wow. 14 dentists, all in one office. It was perfect right out of school. I learned, the patient load was there. So it was, sink or swim. And I learned really fast. And the people who owned it were really good people. So I really enjoyed my time there and ended up staying there for 6 years. So that's my only other job other than complete startup.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So if we rewind a little bit, 14 dentists all in one office. How? Yeah. Why?
Yeah, it seems. I remember when I heard about it, I thought, wow, that sounds, but it's a well-oiled machine. I've learned so much business-wise from them. They have it, the hygiene in the middle, and then the ops on the outside. So it's kind of two circles, and you have your two ops, your two assistants, and then any second you check hygiene because there's always hygiene ready. And yeah, it was very fast paced. Like I said, I liked the people there a lot. I thought the ethics were really good. It wasn't, I was never pushed to do treatment or anything like that. But it just, with the pace, I couldn't expand my skills. I was just a drill and fill machine to a degree. Mm-hmm. And I kind of was ready. I knew that there, I was ready to kind of switch things up. But starting my own from scratch was not necessarily the plan. The plan was to find another office that I could get some equity in. And I couldn't find it. I kept looking at these offices. And then I found this office that was beautiful, perfect, two other dentists there. I would be the third and just had everything going for it. But it wasn't quite how I wanted to practice dentistry. There was just a little off. And then I realized I'm never going to find it. If this isn't it, I'm never going to find something. Like I didn't know it, but I clearly had a pretty specific picture in my mind. So that's when I decided I either don't do this thing or I open my own. So it's either, I have two young kids, one and three. So I was kind of at the crossroads. All right, I'll work 2 days a week and just focus on being mom, or start my own thing and make it exactly how I want.
Interesting.
The way laughter works so much more.
You picked the one where you work. So then, why couldn't you just bend? Why couldn't you just say, oh, you know, this one has a little bit of things I don't like. Like, what were the things you didn't?
Yeah, I totally could have. And, you know, the things that I didn't like wasn't anything they were doing wrong. You see what I'm saying? It's nothing. They had a great business model. I just didn't realize how I knew what I wanted, how much I knew what I wanted, I guess. As far as philosophy, practice philosophy, and the way I was going to, I don't know how to exactly word it. I definitely wanted to dip into more comprehensive care, which I couldn't do in my original position just because there wasn't the time for me to do that because they hired me to do other things to get the fillings done. This one, it wasn't quite the direction of comprehensive care that I was going for, I guess you could say. I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but like I said, nothing they did wrong, just didn't feel quite right. And I just realized I have a pretty good picture of what I want it to be. And yeah, it was scary. But as soon as I kind of made that decision and moved on, it just felt right. I have not regretted it.
Okay. I almost give us like a descriptor. What were some of the things to you that didn't feel right?
Yeah. Let's see. I would say, my background is very conservative dentistry, maybe even too conservative, arguably, watching a lot of pracs, that kind of thing. And this one did feel probably a bit too far in the opposite direction. Everyone was getting a big treatment plan.
So you're looking to have an acquisition, right? That's what you're looking for. Like, okay, I'm going to acquire practice.
Yeah, it would have been come in as an associate and then buy in over time. Mm-hmm. And this one even had like the layout for it. You know, you come in for this many years and then you would buy in this percentage. And another thing, you know, to be honest with you, probably was a factor is I would have felt kind of like a junior partner, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To a degree, because there was a lot of learning to compared to my background. It would have been kind of, even if I was a partner, I wouldn't really get to make any decisions. I kind of got that feeling. So that's probably a part of it too.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So then you kind of wanted already to elevate pretty much.
Yeah, I just realized, all right, I'm not going to find what I'm looking for. I loved having other dentists to work with in my first position to collaborate, come up with ideas together. So I knew I didn't want to be solo. So all the offices that I could just buy the office weren't big enough. So that's where I don't want to be huge. I have no desire to be the 14 dentist office like I came from, but I want 2 dentists, up to 4 hygienists at our peak. So I plumbed for 8 ops and equipped 3. So I'm here for the rest of my career. This is it.
So then dream-wise, right now, how many days are you open right now?
Well, that's another thing. We're now open 4 days. We're not full 4 days. I was open 2 days. And it's funny. It took a long time to open. I was even thinking I would work at my associateship some while I opened, but it just took so long.
Really?
I think that they knew that I was leaving. They're like, okay, you just need to leave. You know, we just needed to end it at some point. So I ended up not having a job and just waiting. And I did fill in at several offices, which was very beneficial for me to get ideas from lots of different offices since I just had that one office experience. So that was really nice, but I wasn't working anywhere else. So I was here full time either way. And since it took so long, we had such a long list of people waiting for me to open. So January was awesome. We were so full. We had a great January. And we were open 2 days and people were booked out. So I'm like, all right, let's just go ahead and open up more days. And then February was just not good. So I'm humbled back to, you know, classic slow start startup. But, you know, and I knew that it was kind of a false sense of security. But you, in the back of your head, you're thinking, well, maybe I'll be different.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll keep this pace.
It's true. So then the dream is what, Becca? It's you want to work 3 days. What is the dream? Like the ultimate vision of your practice and your life? What is it?
I would love to work 3 days. I think that'd be great. And even I don't mind coming in 4 days. And that being said, like I told you, my first position, I was working so hard. I was physically exhausted. And this is a different type of dentistry where I'm not seeing a volume of people. Even at our capacity, it probably will be nothing compared to what my background has been. So maybe I will work 4 days, to be honest. It's not necessarily that I want more days. You know, it's funny how everything works out for a reason. With my kids, my second born, was right around that time I was working part-time because I thought I was going to open, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. And so I got all that extra time with her, which is really special. But I do feel that, you know, I have all day Friday and then I have the weekends with the kids. So I don't necessarily want less days. Just I don't want exhausting days, right? Kind of setting my days to sustain, to not burn out, we'll say.
You want to be diligent and productive, not burning out type of deal. Gotcha. Okay, that's interesting. Now, when it comes to this, you mentioned, well, if we could rewind back a little bit, because you said they were really good people, the ones you worked for, but then you ended up leaving.
Yeah.
So you mainly left because you felt burnt out or?
Yeah, I think so. What I was hired for was, it was heady PPO, in network with everyone. And so there's a huge volume of people. So I was hired as an associate to do the fillings. And like I said, that was perfect right out of school because I just couldn't really grow in that. If I would have, not that they wouldn't want me to grow, it's just if, for example, I started wanting to do more root canals and it kind of stopped the schedule, right? Because I'm a kid, it'll take me longer. It just kind of halts and throws everyone else off, right? So it's just kind of, it's not conducive for that environment. So if I wanted to plan a full mouth rehab case, there's just no way that could happen in that environment, right? Not to say that they couldn't do it. Maybe one of the partners would do that, you know, but I would never, get that. And, you know, that's one thing I could have asked a partner there. Like I said, I really like the people. It's a Christian practice. They're really in the best way. They really treat people well. And I just knew it wasn't what I wanted. Just that pace is not, even the partners, you know, they were working really hard, which is great, but I wanted a little lower day personally.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. And then what were some systems from that location that you were like, this is amazing, I'm taking it with me? And then what were some systems where you were, this is not for me, I'm not going to take this?
So yeah, that's a good question. I got some good answers for that one. So the systems that I took from them, if you call Spectrum and you have a question, you're bounced from here to there, and you have to start over every time, and it's so annoying, and that makes a horrible experience. So the way they did the visit is they check in with a greeter, and then an assistant comes and gets them, takes them to the room, they're with them the whole time, and walk them out. So the assistant is checking them out in the room, they are told they're out of pocket before they get there, so they know what they're going to pay. There's no surprises there. And so it's easy. The assistant just runs the car and then can walk them out. And so I think a lot of dentists probably shy from that because it's not, you know, don't want it to be about money, but it's really can be. People love that. They're like waiting for the doctor after getting numb. Do you want to go ahead and check out so you can leave right away? Yes, absolutely. No one's ever said no to that, you know? So it's just convenience. I love that. So I'm doing that.
Check out in the sense like they bring them, hey, you want to pay right now or no?
Yeah, in the room. We have a card reader and they're like in between. So I've numbed someone. I'm in the next room. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, I'm not currently working two rooms, but at the whole office, how it would work is I would numb someone and be in the next room working. And so they have that downtime there and the assistant is just taking the payment in the room. And then when we're done, they just walk the patient out. So they're not making that another stop at the front desk. Which is more private that way. You know, no one wants to talk about money in a room full of other people. It's just so much better. It's so simple. It's so much better. So I love that.
You're doing that now?
I'm doing that now.
How's that working for you now?
It's good. It's a training for the assistant. But it's really not hard if they know what they're going to pay. You know, it's not like they have to have that conversation. And then I advise my assistant, if there's anything complicated, just stop and get them with the front desk. You know what I mean? Like push it. Don't get stressed. It's usually simple because we know we have on the appointment note what they're going to pay. They've already been texted this amount. So they're expecting that. And then you just can collect it whenever there's an opening. If that's at the beginning, they're waiting for me for some reason. Now, since I've not been busy, it's mostly been at the end, but it will be just as convenient. So I love that. I think as a patient, I would like that. And that's just something that is kind of unique that I really liked that they did.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so that's one system. Fantastic system. What else?
Yeah, so something obviously that I didn't like was the being a network with PPOs. Actually, it didn't necessarily, I didn't know I didn't like it. In fact, when I went to open, that's what I was used to. So I just started signing up with all of them because I just didn't know any better, right? You don't as a dentist, you don't know anything about insurance, or at least I didn't as an associate. And so I signed up with everyone. And once I started getting into the figures and seeing how much they reimburse and everything, it was stressful. I was thinking, I'm gonna have to get butts in the chair. What am I gonna do? I've got a big office space, an expensive rent. I'm not gonna make any money. Like none. I panicked, canceled as many as I could, but I was stuck with four at the beginning. So I was in network with four and I thought that would be okay. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized I wanted it to be the same for everyone as far as the systems. I didn't want it to be, okay, well, you're an insurance patient, you know?
Yeah.
Just the whole system. I just wanted it to be simple and the same. So I ended up, since it took so long, I ended up being able to get out of those contracts. One of my friends, or a few of my friends, actually, I told them that I was in network with their provider. And then having to call them, even my friends, and tell them that I wasn't just sucked. It sucked. So that's when I realized I don't want to start in and then do that later because I'm going to have to do that with so many patients. You know what I mean? So I just thought, let's set the expectations from the beginning. I was prepared for a slower start. That's why I said I was pleasantly surprised through January. I was like, well, maybe not me, but yeah, it's a slower start. We had this week kind of fall apart. Next week looks okay. So I know we'll be fine eventually. And I just feel so strongly that it was the right call. That was another thing. I feel like trusting your gut. It was a really scary decision because it's so far different from my background to be completely out of network. And it just felt so right after. It was such a relief. I'm so thankful I did that. I've never once regretted it. I will say, I don't want us to be considered, and I say this a lot to patients, I don't want us to be considered a high-end office. I don't consider us a boutique office. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is just because we're out of network, we're still only collecting what their estimated out-of-pocket is going to be. We're still doing all the insurance stuff that we can for them for customer service. We have a really affordable, cheap, if you will, membership plan for people without insurance. So it's not, I really think it's for everyone. It's not a high-end office. That was not that's not the vision.
Okay, interesting.
So trying to combine the two. I don't know. It's not commonly done, but we're trying.
Yeah. Right now you're completely then fee-for-service, right?
Out of network.
Okay.
Delta's really the only one that's a struggle because, you know, they won't pay us, but we still have a lot of Delta patients that see us anyway. But those are the ones I feel like we do lose the most is our Delta patients because they have to pay everything up front, which is hard. But yeah, other than that, most of the insurances, I won't say most, but a good amount of them have covered cleanings and it's been fine. So,
okay, that's good. That's really interesting. And then the other practices you worked in where you're like, oh, thankfully I was able to look at other practices and other systems. What'd you learn from there?
Yeah, so I did. One of my good friends, I worked at her office for a few weeks and she was a fee-for-service office as well. Mm-hmm. So I got to see what that looked like. And they were doing great. And I liked the pace. I liked the atmosphere. She was a really good leader to her team. And I could just tell by the way they talked about her. And so while I was there, I was like, all right, just tell me all the reasons why she's a good leader. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Just kind of doing some research for myself. And they just said that she treats them as people, which seems so simple. I think that's, to be honest, I think that's kind of my biggest strength is just kind of treating people well. And I know that sounds so simple, but you know this, people are so disconnected these days. People are desperate for a connection. You know what I mean? They're desperate for someone who's actually paying attention to them and listening. Simple things. And that's kind of what sets us apart and why I think we're going to do fine out of network.
So your new patients then, new patient appointments, yeah, would you say they're pretty long? How long are they? Because in order for you to like hear them, listen, validate, right? Then like understand them. I feel like that takes longer than 30 minutes.
I do 90 for cleaning, a comprehensive exam, and I'll keep that. That's not temporary. That'll be long-term.
Oh, really?
For a new patient. And then recall would be an hour.
Gotcha. Okay, that's interesting. Interesting. And then you mentioned it took a long time for you to open up.
Oh gosh, just construction. It's a brand new building. Building. So it was 6 to 7 months delayed.
Really?
Yeah.
First of all, how did you do your marketing in order to let the people know? Like, were they signing up somewhere or?
Oh, so I started my Instagram account. It was supposed to be 3 months before. It ended up being, you know, 6 months before, 9 months before. And just kind of hooked it up to my Instagram. So everyone that I knew in town kind of knew. And Charlotte, as big as it is, still a bit of a small town. And my husband from Charlotte. So we are fairly connected here. And so a lot of people knew that way. And then I mostly did Instagram marketing to begin with, but I did hire a marketing company, Transcendental, and they helped me a lot. Ideal Practices is one. If anyone else is thinking about a startup, I'm really glad that I used them. I'm jumping around a bit, but that's kind of how I got all the patients, was through some guidance from them as well. And we'll come back to them. And then I had a lot of patients that were my patients at the office, but I was very, very careful to be respectful, not recruit patients. That just was important to me. Didn't want to recruit staff and or patients from that office because they let me work for so long, knowing I was opening and just, like I said, good people. So patients have found me now. We've got a lot of appointments for 6 months from now as they go to their cleaning appointment and realize I'm not there and then call and schedule on their way home for 6 months. So people are finding me. It's just, I didn't recruit them from the office. Just felt like it didn't feel right.
Okay. Yeah. 100%. I agree with that.
In today's digital world, a cyber threat is no longer a matter of if, but when. And for dental practices, where patient trust is as vital as clinical precision, robust cybersecurity isn't just a luxury, it's an absolute necessity. Dark Horse Tech offers just that. Comprehensive cybersecurity services tailored for the unique needs of the dental industry. You can rest assured that your practice is fortified with firewalls robust enough to keep out even the most persistent of digital threats and encryption that guards every byte of sensitive data. And here's the game changer. Dark Horse Tech is offering you a chance to experience their top-tier cybersecurity services with no strings attached. For a limited time, click on the first link in the show notes below and claim your free month of cybersecurity service today.
So then it's mainly Instagram marketing. And then what did Ideal Practices do? Or what was their marketing plan for you?
So they gave me some background in ground marketing, some ideas, connecting with other businesses. I would say Ideal Practices, I thought they were so great with the minutia of opening. Now it's time to hire a contractor. Now it's time to do this, right? So that was so helpful. I would say at the end, they had good advice, but I was finding it wasn't quite meshing with my vision as much at the end. So I felt like they had already earned their money's worth at that point. So I was happy. But I kind of, from a marketing standpoint, they gave me the idea of a gift, which every new patient we donate to a local program that does scholarships for students, college scholarships. So they gave me that idea, which is huge. That's a cornerstone of our office. And just really stressed joining the chamber, connecting with other businesses, especially being out of network. A lot of other business owners don't have dental insurance. So that's been a big networking. And as far as marketing, oh my gosh, I'm doing so much marketing outside of that. If you want me to dive into that, that's what you have to do, right? If you're not going to be in network, you're not going to have people calling because of that. I've got my marketing company, Transcendental. They are doing Google ads and SEO, all that stuff. I'm doing my own social just because I find it's more authentic that way. You can see it kind of ebbs and flows. It's like if I have a busy week, it's so good. If I have a slow week, it's a lot better. But I'm getting better and better at it. I'm learning to become a dental influencer. Uh-huh. And then I'm going to be in a magazine for residents and the neighborhoods around our office. It is free for them. And I'll be their resident dentist. So I can do 3 articles of my choosing that I can write. And then I'll have ads in there for 6 months. And then lastly, this new thing I'm doing is a women's group called Beauty Boost. And it's in all different countries. So if you moved to Charlotte and you wanted to make some friends, it's kind of a good way to get connected with other women. There's a Women of Wellness Day that I'm going to go to. I'm going to set up a little booth and do Invisalign screenings because it's kind of, it's the experience station. So I'll bring my Atero. And if anyone's interested in Invisalign, we'll screen them. We'll do a fun raffle for some whitening. So just kind of getting out there, meeting people. And I've gotten patients through doing that, just kind of getting to know people in the community, especially other business owners. I'd say that's probably a huge market. Like I said, they don't have dental insurance. So they're happy with the membership plan's great.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. But you said now this is what you're doing for marketing almost every single week, right? Every day kind of thing. The ground marketing, the ads, the transit.
Every day. We were busy January. I hardly did it at all. And then February we started getting into it. This week we contacted some schools so we could go do oral hygiene instructions for kids and send a little goodie bag home to parents. We got these cute little xylitol tooth lollipops.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's kind of fun.
Nice.
Little bag like that. Yeah.
Okay.
We gave bags to, there's a lot of businesses around here, a lot of restaurants. And so we did a bag with 10 little cards with our membership plan on it. And then the lollipop.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. So little things like that, which haven't really had time to pan out, to be honest with you. I mean, we opened in December. I don't know if you knew that. So we're still very new. But
it's exciting. It's exciting.
I feel like we've got a lot going, right? A lot started marketing wise.
Okay. So, and then you said you stopped working with Ideal Practices now?
It just naturally ends once you open. So they're with you until you open.
They do
have a consulting. Yes, they do have a consulting after you open that I didn't choose to do.
Gotcha. Why?
Just kind of what I said. You know, it felt a little like they're telling me how to be successful in the way they know how. And that would make me successful. But I guess I'm particular and I didn't realize it. Like I said, with the other offices, it's not like they don't see the vision that I see, you know, that how I was telling you, like they want to either put me in a boutique office that's really high end or be a network with everyone. And I'm not trying to do both, but just kind of doing it differently, I guess. Basically, I just don't want to accept those super low fees. And that's where I'm drawing the line. But otherwise, I want to make it as affordable as possible for anyone and everyone who can come see me. You know what I mean?
Okay,
and I feel like dentistry kind of has to take some sort of turn in that direction because insurance is going to reimburse more. I don't know, but that's a whole different conversation. But I kind of, the way I tell patients is, and it is true in our area, at least more and more people are going out of network. And so that kind of, it's either out of network or corporate is kind of what we're seeing. Corporate-like maybe.
Are they saying why they're going out of network or no? More and more people?
Because of the cost is so high and the reimbursement hasn't been raised in years. So you're taking such a cut. It got to the point, some of the ones that are so low, it's like four people in your chair versus one as far as your it's wild. And I didn't want, something's got to give in that case, right? And so it typically is volume. You have to pump the volume of patients to make up the difference, right?
Yeah.
So that's just was not in the vision. So I don't want the volumes, right? So I wanted it to be more personable, give more people more time. But then I also want to help them pay for things, which did get tricky. I underestimated the insurance. I became an insurance specialist, if you would say, to start, because I was doing it. And I hired my mom at front desk and she's been amazing with patients, but she has no dental background. So it was me doing all the insurance things. Before bed, I'm like filing claims after I put my kids to sleep. It was not great. And so I've now hired a financial coordinator who can, like, her only job is at this point is doing the getting us cleaned up. One, because I saw an issue from the beginning. I'm like, before we get really busy, let's get someone in here to clean up our ledgers. And then she will meet with the patients and just pretty much, how can I help you pay for this? You know, let's go through this together and giving people that service. So we're not just saying, oh, we're out of network, you're on your own. You know, we're really trying to help people pay for the treatment they need. But just the only caveat is we're using our fees, not the insurance fees. I guess some people say being in network, it's like expensive marketing, right? Because you're getting patients through them. And I'll get my patients elsewhere. That's why I'm working so hard with the marketing side of it. But I'll still use everyone's benefits and they'll only pay what I think they'll need to. Of course, you never know completely. It was kind of complicated, but having someone who that's her only role, we can get pretty good estimates. She knows her stuff. So it's been really nice ever since she started. It's been a lot better.
Okay, that's nice. And then with, I guess, is that why you're selling? How good are you at selling your membership plan then for this? Like if the financial coordinator is like, let me help you pay for this. Is that where she slips in the membership plan or how does that look?
Yeah, it's a lot of people that come to me don't have insurance. So that's a no-brainer. So there's a few people that have really bad out-of-network benefits. And so we've told them, about the membership plan. And so it's, they can't use it with the insurance, right? So, but it's kind of a, okay, when your insurance renews, this may be a better option for you. And basically just looking at it side to side, like, what are your premiums? What did you have done? Would you have saved money with this, right? And so then you know, for example, with our plan, it's not a $1,500 limit. It's unlimited 20% off treatment. And we do the two cleanings and x-rays and all that is included. And then we, like, for example, if it's cosmetic work, membership plan is going to be great because we're not specifying between cosmetic and general treatment. You're going to get $0 from insurance, but you'll get 20% off for each crown up front, right? So it's just a better deal for people. And so we don't really have to sell it. If it's not a better deal, we'll tell them, you know, we've told several people, stick with your insurance. It's going to be a better deal for you. If it's a company insurance, not a personal plan, it's generally been better for them out of network. So it's not like we don't want to deal with insurance. We're just trying to see if it's better, if it's less out of their pocket, which sometimes it is, because it's, you know, instead of $600 a year in premiums, and then if they have minimal coverage with that, they're paying $400 and getting the preventative taken care of and 20% off everything. So it depends on the person, but it's kind of personalizing it a little bit more.
Taking the time to talk with them and things like that. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So then throughout this time, what's been some of, especially your building phase and everything, what's been some of the best companies you've worked with? And then some of the companies, maybe the worst companies you worked with, or the ones that just didn't click with you?
Sure. Well, Dark Horses, they've been great. They set us up. You know, we've had a few issues come up and they've helped us with it. So they've been a great company to work with. I love Transcendental, my marketing company. I can't say enough good things about them. It's funny because, you know, we are saturated in this area as far as there are a lot, like, I can see two dentists from our window, but there are a lot of people in this area. So there's still the opportunity in the area. I don't need to tell you that you're from LA. Like, it's more so you get that. But considering there are all these established practices around us, the fact that people have found us on Google just searching, and a lot of people have found us just searching, that tells me, you know, they're doing a good job with SEO and the Google ads. So, you know, with Google ads, it's interesting. I thought that it was doing great because it's the month we started running them, we just started getting so many calls. But then we did the report and it was zero leads. So I'm wondering if people are seeing the Google ads and then making note of it and then going back and searching me later. I don't know, but it's coming back as the SEO is what's bringing people in. Either way, they're coming in which is great. These are people, because at first, you know, all of January, like I said, that was great. I knew everyone, right? It was all the people I knew. And then we started seeing people that just found us on Google, and that's pretty exciting.
Okay, interesting. So you mentioned you had a couple of IT issues. What issues have you had so far?
What did we have? We had just big issues, more, you know, our users, I kind of trying to figure out how we want to set things up because right now we're so small, but I want us to be, eventually we're going to be a pretty big staff. If we've got 2 dentists, 8 hygienists, 8 assistants, you know, that's going to be a pretty big staff, 3 up front. So we're trying to think, every decision I make, I try to think with that in mind to just simplify so it's scalable. And so right at the beginning, we each had our own computer login, which obviously isn't going to work. As soon as we hired the fourth person, like, for example, if you take an x-ray, you have to download the driver to each computer user. So I was like, this is not going to work if we have a lot of people, right? So just kind of working with them through that. Hey, what should we do? What have the other offices done? And so we ended up doing, I had my login. There's a staff login. And then from there, all of our stuff is on the cloud. You know, we've got a cloud-based software. I use Dentrix Ascend. If anyone's looking, I've really liked that. It's been great. It's got a couple of challenges. Specifically, there's just certain things that I want it to do that it doesn't quite do yet, but you can request, for example, you know, doing a partial refund. You can't do that, which are little things, right? Little things I just wish it would do. But it's, when I think about it, the server base couldn't do any of that anyways. So you'd be doing it manually. It's all in one. So I don't have to buy a bunch of third-party softwares, which is nice. So everything's on the cloud. So the overall user, you just log in and then it's still HIPAA compliant because you still have to do another login to get to anything patient related. So
yeah, interesting.
It helps me kind of get through that. But the point is, I'm trying to think, what are we going to do when we get busy, right? What are we going to do? Like, I'm trying to use this time to prep us and just be positive that we are going to grow. Like, I hope we will.
Yeah. Interesting. And then why did you guys go with Dark Horse Tech opposed to, I mean, like, were you deciding between other ones or no?
Yeah, I did look at it. I looked at two national ones and one local one. And I like Dark Horse Tech's presentation better. They were just, it wasn't necessarily the cheapest, but it was close. You know, they were all kind of comparable. The local one was really expensive and it just didn't seem to be like dental specific. And that was kind of nice to have a dental specific. So I could ask those kind of questions. Hey, what do other clients who have lots of staff members do for their users? You know, or like they're helping me set up my Microsoft, same thing. I'm thinking, all right, do I have to do individual emails for every person? Like things like that. They can kind of help walk me through those decisions. Because I have the time now and anything's manageable now, but once we're busy coming back and setting up those systems, then it's going to be that much harder.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now you're kind of building everything out for when you're busy. So when busy is happening and productive, what does that look like to you?
Yeah. So I'm looking at it for how soon we can get people in. If it's taking, which when it, like I said, when we were doing 2 days a week, we were 2 weeks out. And then that's why I opened it 4. So that was kind of my signal. Okay, let's do more days. So now we're at 4 days. And so when we start to kind of get a couple weeks consistently booked out, then my next step would be to hire a hygienist if I can support one. I actually have talked to at least one hygienist to maybe come in 1 day a week or something like that. You know, we could just kind of load the hygiene up. That would be my next step, is to get the hygienist in there so we can both be working. But at this point, if hygienists, I know it's worse in LA, but in Charlotte, it's $50 an hour salary. And that just doesn't make sense right now, because I'm sitting in my room doing nothing. So it just doesn't make sense right now. But as soon as I can support, that's the next step, is getting a hygienist. And then once we, you know, we could just take it from there. I think personally, and I do have a really good accountant. That's another company I can highlight. HDA is our accounting company. It's a national company. It's dental specific. And they have been great. Even before, because I'm meeting tomorrow with them, they talk to me every month. They mostly work with startups so they can, you know, assure me like, actually, you're doing fine. This is like, for example, I wanted to hire that financial coordinator and I was kind of scared to call thinking, I really want to do it. I know it's going to be better. I know this is what the business needs, but they're going to tell me I can't afford it, is what I was thinking. Yeah. And I called and they were like, you know, you need to grow is what you're doing right now. If this is going to help you grow, then you need to do it. And it was just great. So they have been awesome. So I'm sorry, I'm going on lots of tangents. I seem to kind of get excited and just get it. So you can get me back focused if I do that. But I have them, how I'm in my head, kind of, I am looking at my numbers. I have a daily goal that we're to break even. And I would generally like to, my goal is, this is month 3, which is possible. We're halfway in. We're doing already better than we did all of February. So it's possible I could be in the red in March, but March or April to just be in the red was my goal there. And then by the end of the year, I would like to start paying myself and reimburse myself before that for all we paid, because we have put in a lot of money. We sold our house.
Really?
Yeah. Which was, we kind of lucked into this amazing situation. Talk about meant to be. It was COVID. Market prices are hot. It's like $500,000 for a 3-bedroom house, you know, kind of thing, which me probably sounds like nothing to you in LA.
It's good.
But it was a really good time to sell. And we knew we didn't want to be in that house long term. And one of my husband's brothers bought a house for themselves, but he's a baseball coach. So they moved and weren't ready to sell because they just bought the house. So we're renting their house for a good, so we have a good rent. They get a little extra month and are getting equity in their home. And we sold our house. So we at really high and got a little cushion. So we've been living off that. And my husband, he does well too. So I'm really lucky in that aspect. Mm-hmm. Have a lot of school debt and everything, but with that cushion, I'm giving myself a year to, or I have to pay myself. But
so then what do numbers look like? Like, what is the number you have, your daily goal? What was production and collection like on February compared to January?
I don't want to talk about February. February is bad.
What does it look like? Like, if you can give us a good range, or if you can give us the exact numbers.
Yeah, I can look at the exact numbers. I'm a very I round numbers in my head, so I don't ever remember those exact numbers. I round up or down. But to me, in my head, break even. My goal would be 30,000 break even in a month, and so that's $2,000 a day. Some days we're over that and that's great. But right now we're kind of either just getting there or a little under 2000 a day. And that's another reason I decided to open up more than 2 days is it just was impossible because I'm doing mostly cleaning, right? Because they're all new patients. And so, yes, I've had some crowns and everything, which is great. But, you know, my main part of the day is cleaning. So I was not going to get anywhere close to the numbers I needed in 2 days. So that's another reason I opened up the 4 days was because then I can, you know, spread that out a little bit. I'm halfway there. So it's possible I could get it. I'm probably 16,000 production. So there's that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't need to produce 30,000. So that's including, so that's taking my expenses after that 30,000 to break even.
Okay.
Yes. So, and that sounds totally doable, but it is harder without a hygienist.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because like I'm doing all of the hygiene and I'm not doing anything else at that same time. So it is harder to get those numbers right now. But right now, it's not about necessarily breaking even. Even in my book, since I do have that cushion, I'm lucky enough to have that cushion personally. It's just kind of setting that foundation, bringing people in. And then I'm hopeful we'll be ready. I keep saying when we grow, you know, we'll be ready when those patients are here. We'll be always be ready for the next steps. And so I'm not going to hold growth back. We're just going to kind of lay the foundation, do what we need to do.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting. And then one of the final questions I wanted to ask you, Becca, is throughout this process, I guess from the moment you decided you wanted to open up your practice till right now, what's been some of the biggest struggles, fails, or pitfalls you've experienced?
Definitely not getting overwhelmed, which I will from time to time with everything. I think looking at the office almost as an organism and seeing, all right, what does this organism need to grow?
Yeah.
And that's what it's been really fun, actually, surprisingly. And I feel like I feel like I'm kind of good at that, which is fun for me. It's so surprising. That's what I mean by, all right, I see the vision. I'm such a big picture person, but what the details were getting frustrating. And I was getting, like I said, I was up late at night, working, doing everything myself. And it was great in a way because I learned all the insurance, which most dentists don't know. And it's great to be able to have that. You know, if my financial coordinator goes out of town or something, I'm not lost. But it's nice to finally, like, I guess my point is not getting too overwhelmed in those moments because you know it's going to get better, right? So kind of staying positive and just really seeing your vision and not compromise on your vision is hard. And that has been a challenge for me. And I've stuck to it, but it's been hard. There's several times I've doubted myself, starting with being out of network, then with hiring someone new, but I've just stuck with it and know I just kind of believe in the end goal, right? And so someone told me once, you know, to be an entrepreneur, you have to just be unreasonable. Like Jen told me, you know, you have to kind of have that attitude despite all odds. And I think that is hard. And I don't always do it perfectly, but that would be a really big challenge for a lot of people.
Do you feel like that happens quite often? Like in a month or in a week, like you're like, oh, I feel overwhelmed. I just want to take on insurance. Or not even insurance. Do you ever think where it's like, it was so nice just getting a paycheck, going home?
You know, I don't, which is weird. So when I was like, where I was doing everything, I was like, I kind of had that thought, do I know what I'm doing? You know, the imposter syndrome, like, am I cut out for this? But then you break through that and you kind of get more confidence in yourself. And I haven't ever wanted to go back, honestly, at all, because I'm loving what I'm doing. It's a very full my life with the two kids and the business. So three kids, essentially, this is my third baby. It's very full, but it's really fun. I'm really enjoying it. So honestly, and I mean that, I wouldn't want to go back.
Interesting. So awesome.
For anyone out there who is, you know, we got to start our families, we got to start our careers, unfortunately, at the same time. That's just how it works a lot of times. So anyone who's overwhelmed and thinking, yes, it's a lot of work, but as long as you know where you're going, it's worth it. It's so much fun. I'm so glad I did it.
Awesome.
I would do it again. I won't do it again, but if I could go back in time, I would do it. I won't do it another time. Just the one time.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, awesome, Becca. Thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, QC South Dentistry. And that's QC as in Queen City, Charlotte, South Dentistry. So you can find me on Instagram or on our website.
So that's going to be in the show notes below. So definitely reach out to Becca. And Becca, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure. And we'll hear from you soon.
Thank you. Great to talk to you. Have a good day.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. And Rebecca, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. We really appreciate you. And don't forget, this episode is brought to you by Dark Horse Tech. You heard Becca speak about how amazing Dark Horse Tech has been for her practice. But ask yourself, what if the next IT hiccup could cost you more than just time, but a patient's trust in your dental practice? That's something you don't want. When technology falters in a practice, it can throw off more than just the day's appointments. It can disrupt patient care and impact the very heartbeat of the practice. So, believe and have full confidence that this will never happen with Dark Horse Tech. They have a dedicated IT support. They understand that in the world, time is not a commodity. It's the currency. And when their IT support is integrated into your practice, they ensure that currency is spent on patient smiles, not on tech troubles. With Dark Horse Tech, you get real-time responses and preventative strategies that keep your operations running like clockwork. They make sure you are all HIPAA compliant, so you don't even have to worry about that. They make sure you are backed up, so any ransomware or anything like that, any spam that might harm your records, you don't ever have to worry about that. And then IT hiccups, you never have to worry about that again with Dark Horse Tech. So, why let issues take a bite out of your practice's productivity? Sign up with Dark Horse Tech today and they'll give you the first month of IT support for free. Go in the show notes below, click the first link in the show notes below to check out more on this exclusive deal and also more on what other practice owners are saying who have Dark Horse Tech with them. Claim the offer today and give your practice the gift of uninterrupted service with Dark Horse Tech. Every minute saved from IT troubles is a minute gained for patient care. So go in the show notes below and click the first link in the show notes below to check out the Dark Horse Tech deal. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.